It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Well, there's a sliding scale. There's a sliding scale between what is beautiful and what is hot. Now, I'm talking about the weather in this case. I feel the need to make sure to clarify that coming off B&E and their conversations about numbers and such. Our numbers have more to do with the sporting life and the world of perspiring art. So with that, good morning and welcome to Light the Tower. Here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, we're local, we're digital, viewable by those of you who avail yourselves of Twitch. We're on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig White. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Glad to have you with us. We're with you until noon. And shirts and skins comes your way, at least the skin portion and part of it, you know, because Chad Hastings is on vacation this week. So Trey Elling, Ronald John Elling III, in command that, and he always has interesting offerings as well.
Not Trey Elling III?
No. From the Department of Redundancy Department? No.
That's the only reason I said that, because I enjoy when you throw that out there, Craig.
Yeah, because Bucky, Bucky calls him that. Somebody else called him that, too. Oh, I think it might have been BK.
I try to borrow the Department of Redundancy Department line from you, but I always screw it up, so I just leave you to say
it. I learned that, or I first heard that back in the 80s, I think I heard it, from a good friend who was local TV sports anchor in the Dallas-Fort Metroplex for many years, Paul Crane, who was worked at the CBS affiliate there and then down in Miami and a long time. So he was the one I think I first heard that from. The Department of Redundancy Department. He's also the one that I heard for the first time when the guy called him on the phone at the office and was just ranting and raving, and the guy was completely off base. He had the wrong guy. He had the wrong game. He had the wrong stuff, and he just kept going on, and you got blah, 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 blah. And Paul said, sir, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Well, you blah, 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 blah. And the guy said, the guy goes, oh, well, I guess it was another television station there, whatever. And he goes, by the way, what's your name? And Paul goes, my name? Tone. Dial Tone. Hung up on him. So anyway, the other voice you heard there, of course, is my co-host. He is the pride of Northwest Williamson County and a proud graduate of the one and only Florence High School.
Damn straight.
Former All-District offensive lineman for the Florence Buffalo, second team. And
it was actually honorable mention, so I want to make sure we're
not. Why is it keep going down even further? I thought it was first team, then I thought it was, then I was told, no, it wasn't first team, so I thought it's got to be second team. So he said former honorable mention, yeah. All-District offensive lineman for the Florence Buffaloes. You know him best for his outstanding work at Horns 24/7. That would be Jeff Howe.
Coming up on the 20-year mark of that 2001 season, by the way, this fall.
You hit your 20-year high school reunion?
You know, I think
that's
in 02,
right?
That'll be next, probably right around a year from
2022.
I missed the 10-year because they decided to do it in the fall of 12.
Yeah.
And they decided to do it Texas OU weekend. So I said, yeah, not going to be there. Got to miss that one. So hopefully the 20-year can work out.
Okay. Our producer, our man behind the glass, the purveyor of all good things, Flex ATX, including the new swag he was floating out there that came in. He is our producer, Jonathan, John Donaldson, J. Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel. How are you?
What's up, bro? I'm having a tough time booking the Flex radio show because, you know, I have a ton of guests on it.
Yes, you do.
But everybody.
The other night, by the way, before you get to that.
Sure.
While it's fresh in my mind. So I'm listening to the show the other night. I'm listening to Flex.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And Snoop's guest list rattles off like, you know when you watch when you're watching severe thunderstorm or tornado coverage, and they say at 7:09 it'll be in Florence, at 7:13 it'll be in Jarrell, at 7:15 it'll be in Heidenheimer, and it's just every that's his guest list. He's like, at 7:05 we got so and so, at 7:20 we have so and so, at 7:30 we have so and so, at 7:40 we have so and so. I mean, you load it up, it quick hits, right? But you're challenged this week.
Yeah, well, because kids are actually enjoying a less COVID-y summer.
So some vacations
it's
are
a
happening.
Lot, man, I forgot. Kids travel. There's a lot of college visiting. Some kids are visiting like four schools in a week. And I don't know how they're getting. I mean, who's paying? Are they flying?
I started to say, are these official visits or are these one they're taking on their own?
I think that they're taking on their own. I mean, it's a mixture. I mean, Jeff might speak more eloquently on what they're actually doing.
It depends. I mean, for your 22s, they're going to be, some of them are going to be official visits, and that's why when we've had Mike Roach on Mondays and Mike's talked about it, we've written it on the site. I talked about it on a couple of shows I was on with yesterday and our shows. I was on with the Triple Option guys yesterday. I think for the 22s, they're trying to basically, you're taking the recruiting cycle, and because of the COVID rules and the extended dead period, you're basically going to compress everything into a matter of weeks.
Sure.
So I think you're going to see kids take visits, and then by the time you get to the start of, you know, football practice in August, I think most of them will be, they'll be over it.
Really?
They'll be over it, their families will be over it, and at that point they'll just make a decision just to be done with it, because they're, in a lot of cases, you're not going to get a summer. I mean, for a lot of these families your summer vacation is going to be
his visits.
If you're looking for offers, you're going to camps to try to get noticed. If you've got offers, you're taking your official visits to try to get it out of the way.
Sure.
So there's part of it, but
I mean, that's why I like the Manning family's working well in advance. He's a 23.
Right, and a lot of the 23s, that's what this time is all about, get those camp visits out of the way, and I think that way those guys can narrow it down by the time you get to the fall. Okay, here's the, for the elite guys, here's the 5 to 10 schools that I'm really going to consider of the 20-some-odd offers you've got, which, you know, you get those offers, but you're not going to consider all those schools. So, Snoop, you could actually get Will Stone, the Regents kicker, on your show this week.
I was just going to name drop him.
Because he committed to Texas about, I don't know.
Oh, he committed?
15 minutes ago.
Oh, there, well, sorry. See? Yes. Ooh. Go, okay. Will. So, go. Sorry.
So, no, but I say that, I use the Will Stone news to set this up. And both of you, we're going to talk Longhorn baseball. We got two notebook segments and Conceivable, sure, the usual fare. But we've got two massive pieces of local high school football news that came down yesterday.
Yep, and both with within, let's see, 1, 2, 3, I know because I live right in between the two schools, 4 or 5, about 5 miles apart.
Yep.
Right in between. The, mm-hmm. You've undoubtedly, if you follow the high school game at all, you've heard by now that Carl Absek, the head coach at Cedar Park, who won a state championship in his first season as head coach, and in what proves to be his final season as head coach, got him to the state championship game before they fell to Denton Ryan, is leaving to become the new head coach at Barbers Hill. I thought it was, by the way, a very nice response he had to your Flex ATX tweet. Aww. Saying thank you for all the support. He said, no, thank you and everything you do for it. So he was ever the picture of class and dignity, and the same can go for Rodney Vincent from Vista Ridge,
no doubt,
who is going out to Shallow Water, an outstanding program in the greater Lubbock area out there. So, yeah, there's the big, big news there. And there's coaching news going on all across the state of Texas, we've discovered over the past couple of weeks. So, yeah, that's those are a couple of big, big notes. I take it those were the notes you were talking about.
Yeah, and from a statewide standpoint, Craig, that Barbers Hill job is really interesting, because for those who don't remember, Tom Westerberg, when he was done with their state championship run in Allen, when he had Kyler Murray and they had those unbeaten teams, Tom Westerberg left Allen to take the head coaching job at Barbers
Hill. Yes,
he did.
He did. And coached through last year, and then
you know the dynamics, Craig, better than I. I would imagine that job, you're going to be pretty well compensated.
There's that's a school district that will take care of its coaches.
But those are in the area. Those are two really good jobs.
Yes,
Cedar Park open and Vista Ridge open.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see how that thing unfolds.
It's really weird that you're seeing movement. I say that it's interesting that you're seeing movement at this point during the school year, but I didn't know this. Mike Roach told me this. Apparently, like, DISD, their last class days were either late last week or this week.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't believe people are still in school right now.
Uh-huh. Because of several things. Some were COVID-related and also weather-related, what with what happened also. So
I can't believe there can't be any serious work getting done these last 2 weeks of school. People are still
think
in school.
About it.
Nobody wants to
when
be
you
there.
Were in high school. Yeah, and not even just your senior year when you got senioritis bad.
Well, have to take that last 9 weeks of Algebra 2, so it wasn't a complete blow off.
Yeah, see, I started to say,
hit your books, kids.
Think back for a moment, both of you guys, to your last 2 weeks, say, of your junior year in high school.
Last 2 weeks of my junior year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And how difficult was it for you to grind through that just to get to the end of the school year? Like I said, your senior year is a completely different thing. You get your mind on graduation and the next big chapter in your life and all that. I'm just, you know, you're coming back. You got one more year of high school.
Well, left. Once reality set in, I was flunking that last 9 weeks of Algebra 2. Everything kind of settled down for me a little bit.
How about you, Snoop? You were passing all your classes to avoid the beatings at home,
yes,
otherwise?
Yes, correct.
All right. Yeah, okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Once I found out, I'm like, so is this going to make me...
Snoop, by the way, revealing on this program that his parents definitely believed in corporal punishment.
Yes.
Once I...
That's why I'm so nice.
I asked a pivotal question during those last few weeks, Craig. So is this going to keep me ineligible for football? No, because your grade for the first 9 weeks is going to average out to a passing grade. You just failed in 9 weeks. I'm like, okay, cool. Then
I'm just going to
mail this in. Taking my last 9 weeks of my senior year when I was in there with, like, you know, a bunch of sophomores. And
so you went from failing the final 9 weeks of Algebra 2 your junior year and put it off to the final 9 weeks of your senior year?
Yeah, I don't know how that worked.
Started to say, how does that work?
That wasn't my choice. I was kind of told that's what was going to happen. And the downside to that was it broke up my second semester run of being the office aide. I was the aide in the front office.
Yeah.
Which coincided with me putting on the senior 15 because they like to bring Round Rock Donuts into the teacher's lounge there.
Yeah.
In Florence, Texas, USA. Yeah. So I'd grab them, you know, two, three at a time, just mindless eating. There's a lot of mindless eating, playing Snake on the old Nokia phone, getting into the car whenever I could to listen to Bill and Craig on the air, you know,
yeah,
things of that nature.
In the day, somebody pointing out on the Specs text line, Barbers Hill just won the state championship at softball, baseball too.
Yeah,
in 5A, David Denny, the former Longhorn, there at the helm there, and somebody said what happened to Westerberg? He retired. You retired. So, and so Carl Lapsack, the new head coach there at Barbers Hill. So, we do have Inconceivable. That's coming up later on this hour. We have some really interesting items about that. And then, like we said, we've got the notebook coming up at the bottom of the hour and the bottom of the next hour as well. The Longhorn baseball team, just a couple of programming notes. And things that are coming up, not only for this program, but also going forward. We know the Longhorn baseball team now will play Sunday night at 6 o'clock, as we thought would be the case. They will play Mississippi State, the number 7 national seed. Mississippi State won 11-7 over Notre Dame last night in their decisive game. And they had a 6-run second inning, proved to be the difference. They were able to keep them at arm's length enough to do it. But
the ball was hopping out of Duty Noble last night, Craig.
It was flying out of the dude. And so Mississippi State and Texas will meet, and that will be Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and we'll have it for you from TD Ameritrade Park in Omaha, 5:45 the airtime. Roger Wallace will be with me in Omaha. Keith Moreland has LHN studio duties, studio pregame duties. So he won't be traveling to Omaha. He'll be in the studio, and I think he and Greg Swindell are a part of their pregame coverage that they're doing. So, but Roger will be with me up in Omaha, and we'll have the call of that. Speaking of Roger, he's going to step in for me for an event on Thursday. Now, in keeping with the theme with the Longhorn baseball team, they leave tomorrow for Omaha, and I'll be traveling up there with them. And they the reason they're going tomorrow, because folks said, well, they're not playing till Sunday, and they're traveling tomorrow. Yes, because you get one workout at TD Ameritrade Park, and that's on Friday. And they're still finalizing the time, but it could be early as Friday morning. They'll probably have a practice either at Creighton or a local high school on Thursday. But they will be traveling tomorrow. There, to let you know, there are plans being formulated. There's nothing official yet, but when it comes down, we'll let you know about the possibility of a send-off rally for the Longhorn baseball team. So when we get word about it, we'll let you know about it. But they'll be leaving tomorrow, and I'll be going up with them. So on Thursday, my original plan was I was going to be emceeing a luncheon for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Austin down at the Fairmont on Thursday. I can't be there now, obviously, since I'll be in transit with the Longhorns. But Roger Wallace will step in and emcee that, where the keynote speaker is Steve Sarkisian. So Coach Sark will be there. Jeff will be there to host this program there. So
I'm going to have to wear pants and closed-toed shoes to this thing.
You do. You do. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. A shirt with a collar, too, would help.
I'm fat and it's hot, but I guess I'll power through it for a couple hours.
Well, you're going to be inside.
You won't Craig, but the, still, like, the weather, we went from kind of decent weather, nice, we got a lot of rainfall in May, to the time of year where I like to just describe the temperature outside as Satan's taint would be an accurate description for what we're dealing with outside right now.
Okay. Anyway,
yes, I will be at the Fairmont doing the show on Thursday.
On Thursday. So that'll be happening on Thursday. So just a couple of programming notes for you there with what is to come this week. And the bracket itself, I guess, got released this morning or whatever, but the way that it works is, you know, the Longhorns win Sunday night, then they would play Tuesday evening in the winner's bracket. If they lose Sunday night, they would play an elimination game on Tuesday, and that would be in the afternoon. And then you just got to take it day by day from there. But if you can win those first two games, you get a couple of days off. It makes a big difference in setting up your pitching to where you need just one win to get you to the national championship series.
Does this require, Craig, any bracketological prognostications?
We can do some of that. We can take a look at that and see what I do. But the bracket's done,
right.
we can take a look at it.
So I do want to get this in before we go to break. So we had a really good discussion about this at Hornets 24/7 on the flagship message board last night as Mississippi State was finishing off Notre Dame. If you're David Pierce, if you're Sean Allen, who do you go with in game one, knowing it's Mississippi State? Now, they've already seen Ty Madden once this year, and granted,
February 20th.
It was a four-inning outing.
11 o'clock in the morning.
Ty was on a pitch count, I think 77 pitches, I think is what he finished with that day.
Right.
So not the Ty Madden that we've seen down the stretch. But a lineup like Mississippi State's that hunts fastballs, they're a good fastball-hitting lineup, do you maybe go with the lefty and Pete Hansen, who can pitch with maybe a little more deception, really good off-speed stuff? It's an interesting decision on what they do and how they handle this.
Agreed. Yeah, that's all the stuff that they're considering right now, how they want to set up their pitching for Omaha. So that's important. That's an important question for them to consider, no doubt about that. All right, coming up, we'll have our first notebook of the day. We'll also get a couple of your texts on the Specs text line at 337-3776. That's 512-337-3776. Tuesday edition of Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Bucky and Aaron.
For the coaching deal at the University of Illinois, I think the hardest one was when I was...
This is Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260. You can view us, if you dare, on Twitch. We're live, local, and digital here on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. And it's going to be a warm day, as we know. Summer has set in. The first official day, by the way, for summer is not until next Monday, or the summer solstice, as it were. You guys remember that about your, you know, your middle school science, your earth science, the things you were studying there in middle school? Did you guys even do that in middle school? Earth science stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, just the general study of earth science?
Well, where you learned about, you know, not only the earth, but also the planets and the solstice and all that other kind of stuff and the seasons.
Yeah, probably, but I'm sure I was reading like a Street and Smith draft preview while I was supposed to be paying attention to that.
So. I'm glad you brought up Street and Smith because there was a time when it was the absolute unquestioned Bible of preseason college football doing that or the NFL, Street and Smith's pro football. And I heard the other day, boy, this is the thing that'll make you feel old. I heard the other day during the triple option, I heard Kevin Dunn make a reference to Street Smith, and BK was like, I heard Bucky say that the other day. I literally had never heard of it. Had never heard of Street and Smith.
Oh, man.
He said, I thought it was like a law firm or something. He had never heard of Street and Smith.
I think like when I was probably middle school for me, Craig, I think was kind of the time it started to get phased out.
Yeah.
And I remember that to Athlon at that. We're still a few years away from Phil Steele, if I remember right. The first
yes.
Phil Steele might have been 99, 2000, yeah. Something like that.
Right.
But I remember Street and Smith Athlon had just come along. So people forget. Like there was a time where even... what was this, 20, 25 years ago, your preseason college football publications, it was pretty slim pickings.
Yeah.
There's a lot of NFL stuff out there, but not a ton of college football
stuff. There was one magazine, and
I remember, Craig, when I had to get my fix, I had to wait on either the Sporting News preview or Sports Illustrated to come in the mailbox.
Yeah.
To get a good college football preview.
There was one magazine, and it didn't run for very long, but I thought it was really good, late 70s to early 80s, called Game Plan. And it had what they called their power. It was kind of like the very first attempt at what would be, was it FBI, Football Power Index? Mm-hmm. They had a system, and they did one for college football, and they did one for the NFL. And so I was really, and I'd always buy the Game Plan magazine, big thick preview magazine back then, but it didn't last very long. Athlon's and Lindy's were all about it really kind of morphed into more Boy, about showing the dance teams and the cheerleaders and all that stuff.
You picked up one of those at a newsstand. I sound old. You picked up one newsstand. Of those at a newsstand lately?
I went to
Barnes and Noble.
Yes.
I only shout them out because there's two within reasonable driving distance of the station.
Okay.
And right now, because I need something to pacify me until Phil Steele comes out and
okay.
I get my DCTF, because I'll support Greg Tepper and Matt Stepp and
yep.
the guys over there and read that publication. Check the price on one of those next time you pick one up. I remember there's a time where you can pick one up for what, Craig, $5-$6?
Yeah, $6.99, yeah. I remember, yeah.
I'm like $12.99 for an Athlon preview now.
Yeah, yeah. So... times change. There's a lot that means of that. One thing that doesn't change is our plan at this time to bring you the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cptours.com.
And so, you know, we do this, the notebook, at this hour of the day and the second hour of our show during the day.
At the risk of losing half our listening audience, let's talk special teams. Let's talk about Will
there
Stone.
You go.
Will Stone, the region's kicker.
Yeah.
Got his offer from Texas this weekend, committed this morning. Literally, as I'm driving in, he goes ahead and commits. And, you know, look, a kicker, punter, a specialist commitment isn't going to get anybody excited.
No, when you called, when you said, let Bucky know, you said, hey, breaking news here and all this. And Bucky's like, breaking news? He thought it was going to be something about Arch Manning or something. He's like, that's not breaking news. That's just news.
Kickers are people, too.
Yes, they are.
Oh,
except the Tom Herman.
Well, yeah, there's that whole deal. Gosh, Craig, I was having such a good morning, and then you got to remind me of that crap. But I do think it's interesting that, and actually, in a weird way, I'll give Tom Herman credit for this. Their first full cycle on the job, they did a really good job of locking down, making sure the special teams are going to be fortified for a few years. And you look at the three guys they took in that first cycle. They took Cameron Dicker, put him on scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Ryan Bishevsky, got him out of the Pro Kick Australia program, put him on scholarship. And then Justin Motter, who, depending on you know who you talk to, was probably the best high school deep snapper in the country in that 2018 class, brought him in as a walk-on and eventually put him on scholarship. And, you know, you think back, Craig, to that 2018 season that went over Oklahoma, and you Sam Ellinger's numbers and everything that went into that game. Little Jordan Humphrey had an outstanding game. But you think about the game-winning field goal Cameron Dicker had. You had a true freshman snapper, a true freshman holder, and a true freshman place kicker in that environment, in that game, in that situation coming through. And honestly, like, we really have it, other than the couple of injuries Bishevsky's dealt with, we really have it had to look at the Texas special teams like we had. There's been a few years where we've had to do this and think, man, week to week, how are they going to make this work? Like, it became, there was times, specifically in that Charlie Strong era, where the kicking game felt like it was a week-to-week proposition.
You didn't
know what you were going to get. But the special teams has been solidified with those guys. And the fact that you brought in Jeff Banks, widely regarded as one of, if not the top special teams coach in the country, now that, you know, they brought it, you know, they inherited in the 21 class, inherited Isaac Pearson from that pro mm-hmm. kick program. Now they've got Will Stone. They already have a commitment from St. Louis, a deep snapper, a long snapper in this class. So
by the way,
is
he pronouncing it like the former member of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Martin St. Louis, or is he going by St. Louis?
Still trying to figure that out.
Okay.
I'm going St. Louis until I'm told otherwise.
Okay.
But so you've got a punter, you've got a deep snapper, and you've got a kicker. Granted, one's a year older, but you're in a position now, Craig, once, because Dicker, Motter, and Bishevsky, all those guys are entering their senior seasons, so really you're looking at some pretty nice turnover. Hopefully, if you did your evaluations right, you could just roll in these new guys once the old guys leave and feel good about your kicking game for another 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, yeah. So another example of things getting on stable ground, you know, with a lot that was unsettled. So that's just one other area. And like you said, there are people too. And it can be a very – it's kind of like, what is it, the old phrase about the officials or the umpires? If you're not noticing them, then that means they're doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the case of place kickers, you're going to notice them sometimes. You might need a 53-yard field goal. And they've got a guy who can do that, obviously.
They do.
You might need a key punt to flip field position. We saw the value of that just in that Texas Bowl, you know, with Michael Dixon, who, by the way, just signed a new contract with Seattle. So
I watched a punter be the MVP of a bowl game.
Yeah,
Craig. That's on my ledger as a beat writer.
Yeah,
it's not something I'll put on the resume. But
it's on all of our ledgers. Those of us as broadcasters, I broadcast a game where the punter was the outstanding player.
You know, after covering Baylor, where I watched Daniel Sepulveda win the Ray Guy Award twice, I'm thinking, man, I hope this is the last time I have to get excited about a punter. And with all due respect to Michael Dixon, he was awesome. But
he was.
There was another time where I'm having to get really excited about a punter. But, you know, when you look at just the kicking game in general, I think they're in a good position, not just in terms of getting a kicker, a snapper, and you've already got a freshman punter on campus who you don't really need to do anything this year because, you know, Bushevsky's coming off the ACL, but we saw last year Cameron Dicker can punt. If Bushevsky's healthy, I would like to see him handle the punting duties because I just worry about, you know, it's tough, Craig. It was even tough at times on a guy like Justin Tucker. When you're trying to do a little bit of everything, I'd rather a guy kind of save his leg and just focus on, just be the kickoff guy
mm-hmm.
and the field goal PAT guy. You know,
there was a time when you had three handling the three jobs.
Yeah.
That Mack Brown had that going for a while. You had a place kicker, you had a kickoff guy, and you had a punter.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, like I said, that's a little bit different thing as well.
That NC State game, though, in 99, that completely changed the way Mack thought about special teams. They just did it completely different
mm-hmm.
after that. Devoted more resources to it, paid more attention to it. I mean, you can't do this now because of the way practice rules are set up, but there were camps. I remember getting, you know, the Mack's last few camps when I was on the beat. You get the schedule, and they had, like, Saturdays and it was kick scrimmages. It was like live special team stuff
mm-hmm.
that they would go over. That's how serious they took the kicking game. But, you know, you've got your specialists, but I think too with, you know, a Jordan Whittington, a Jake Smith, a Keelan Robinson, certainly Bijan Robinson and Deshaun Jameson for another year, And now you've got multiple options in the return game of guys that can flip field position, can, you know, impact the game, change the game on a return. So, and something we'll get into coming up in hour number two when we talk about Bud Elliott's blue chip ratio at 24/7 Sports. That article dropped yesterday. I'll get into that in the second hour. But in theory, as your talent base improves, your younger guys, specifically your bigger skill guys, your inside-outside linebackers, your safeties, corners, maybe even receivers or running backs, to get those guys on the field, typically they're going to make up the bulk of your, the core of your kicking team, your coverage units, your return units. So as those guys, as that group gets more talented, you've got better athletes in those areas, your return units, your coverage units should improve if you're doing it right.
Absolutely. All right, there's the notebook for this hour. A couple of things to get to here on the Specs text line before we get to the break. Somebody, when we were talking about the weather, somebody said, no, don't describe the weather as hot. Describe it as swamp ass. Well, because we've talked about being a little swampy before.
That's what you get from the weather.
Yeah. It said it's so hot that the walk from the car to the Costco, I get swamp ass.
Well, depending on what time of day you're going to Costco, that can be a pretty decent hike.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Somebody said, Jeff, you cracked me up when you said my exact feelings. Damn, do I got to wear pants and closed-toed shoes? I'm fat, it's hot, and I don't do well in it.
No. Those of you watching on Twitch, I'm wearing flip-flops today, so got that going on. And some, and a nice pair of shorts my wife bought me yesterday, so these are brand-new shorts I'm wearing today.
Not an
kind of weirds me out because I like to when I buy new clothes, I like to wash them first before I wear them.
That's not weird. Lots of people do that.
Yeah, my wife looked at me like I had a third eye when I said I like to wash my clothes before I wear them new. So, but anyway, such is life.
Somebody said, "Don't sweat the petty stuff," or is it "Don't pet the sweaty stuff"? Yeah, that's a good point. In talking about Tom Westberg, said he became the AD at Hayes, I believe. That I said he retired from coaching is what I was referring to there. It said, want to know the noise rule for the NCAA, why Smokey was not allowed in the stadium. Okay, that's a firearm. Okay, it's a firearm. That's why it was not allowed in the stadium. Mississippi State had all kinds of cowbell in the stadium. I was told a few years ago to softball regional, I cannot bring my cowbell in because of the NCAA noise rule. Kathy, it's going to happen. The cowbells will be at TD Ameritrade Park. This will be the third consecutive trip for Mississippi State. They have the cowbells there. You know what else will be there? The whistler for Vanderbilt. You know, that guy. And they tried to outlaw him 2 years ago. Remember that? And they kind of shut him down for a little bit, and then that went over like a lead balloon, and then he was back.
You know, I was watching the broadcast last night, and you know, Mississippi State, that's a program that I've known to be a really good college baseball program for a long time. I can't believe this is only their 12th trip to Omaha.
Yep, and never won one.
Feels like they should have more than that.
They've picked up the mantle of Florida State, you know, the Mike Martin thing, all those years and never winning one. But they feel like they got a shot this year, absolutely. Jim from Lago Vista, who, by the way, had ceded to us an item for Inconceivable coming up here in a few minutes. Question for y'all, do you think the tragic shootings on 6th Street Saturday will have any effect on potential signees or their parents as far as really wanting to attend UT?
I'm not going to comment on that.
No.
I mean,
I'm not.
Snoop just commented on it.
No.
I'm not.
I mean, no. Why? I mean, if a kid wants to be a knucklehead underage and go downtown, that's on them.
I'm not going to comment on it because it's going to open up a can of worms on this show that I don't want to open up, number one. And number two, that happening when it happened this weekend, how it impacted recruiting on the 40 acres was the last thing on my mind. So
well,
that's all I'll say about that.
Here
we go. I'm done with it.
Okay. The only thing I'm going to say about it, sad, unfortunate, tragic events happen. And they happen all over the place.
Everywhere.
So I don't see it being, a question that's going to get asked. I mean, in cities where there's a lot of vibrant activity in life, there's going to be always the potential for something like that to happen. Yeah. It happens. Somebody else, so back when Michael Dixon was punting here at Texas, someone complimented me on how good of a punter we had. I told him I loved to watch him punt, but I hated to see him having to do it so much. Good point. Yeah. Cooter says, Jeff, you're not weird. I wash mine too because I don't know who else's junk has touched those pants when they tried them on.
Cooter, my wife and I had that same conversation, and she said that as a joke, and I said, dead serious. I'm like,
no joke.
You don't know who tried those pants on. You don't know what people are into.
Yeah. Not an app guy sent an image of Mike Brady from the Brady Bunch, and it's like a first year episode because Florence Henderson has the bouffant working, and he's got a cowbell in his hands there in the kitchen there. So,
Craig, is there any other quirky stuff we need to be aware of from fan bases this weekend in Omaha? I mean, it's been so long since Tennessee's been there. I don't know if they're going to know how to react.
On the one side, like I said, you got the Whistler with Vanderbilt.
I've never known Stanford to do
Arizona didn't have anything unusual. NC State, no. Well, if the tree shows up,
you know.
He'll probably be stoned in the parking lot. And then on the other side, just large fan bases. Mississippi State, Tennessee will have a large group of people. Obviously, Texas will be very well represented there. I don't think there'll be anything. You know, there's no LSU there. There's no Arkansas there. Now, I have noticed this in all the years that I've been going, that just because LSU isn't there doesn't necessarily mean their fans won't be
LSU
there.
Fans won't be there.
There's some there. Big Mike, the guy, big dude on a Harley at Cook's in the parking lot, you know, was telling Bill Little and I one time, and LSU wasn't even there. And he goes, Big Mike, and he was introducing, he said, wait a minute. We'll be cooking up about 60 pounds of crawfish, making omelets, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning in the parking lot. Am I really going to go to the parking lot there at TD Ameritrade at 9 o'clock in the morning? But they were out there doing it.
That's one thing about that LSU fan base. They will not if they're making anything, they will not hesitate to share the wealth on whatever they're cooking.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody said it wasn't sad and tragic. Oh, it's our good friend Tom McKay. He said it was stupid and careless. Absolutely. Totally agree with you, Tom. And somebody else said this Austin is not the same Austin. We moved here from Corpus in 2012, and Austinites are fed up with it. Well, you're right. Things change and evolve over time, sometimes not always for the best, but some things there. Phil says, just tuned in. Did UT pick up a commit?
Will Stone, Regents kicker, class of 2022.
Yeah,
boom.
There you go.
So, are you going to work to get him on the flex this week?
Yeah, I am actually.
Okay, good on that.
He got an offer from Michigan State last week, so he's been hot.
Somebody asked me, are you accusing the tree of smoking on trees? Yes, I am, because it's happened. So anyway, so there's some of the things. Oh, somebody asked. They said when we were talking about it, they said fortified. Doesn't that mean cheating? No. I don't think so.
According to my two good friends, Miriam and Webster.
Yes.
The definition for fortified, made stronger or more secure. Fortified city, fortified bridges.
Absolutely.
Hey, I don't know if you want to get to this in Inconceivable, Craig, but there was a restaurant recommendation that you and I were going to make for Omaha.
Yeah, yeah. It belongs in Inconceivable.
And it took me down a rabbit hole, thanks to a text from you, that I did not at all expect to go down.
Yeah, it's coming up. By the way, one other thing. Somebody pointed out that Street and Smith's College Football Preview magazine merged with the Sporting News.
Oh, okay. Well, it's still alive in some way, shape, or form. I brought up Street and Smith because me and my buddy Sam Hobbs, we did legitimately get caught in whatever middle school math class that was. We did get caught swapping a Street and Smith draft preview back and forth while we were supposed to be algebra or whatever.
T-Bird Sanchez says, I remember when Lamar was my I-35. There you go. All right. Inconceivable is up next when we continue with Light the Tower. Here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Texas baseball is going back to Omaha.
From the stretch, the 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out for the 37th time in its history, more than any other school in the nation. The Texas Longhorns are going to the College World Series. The Longhorns defeat South Florida, and they are Omaha bound in 2021.
Hear every Longhorn College World Series game right here on the Horn.
Inconceivable. 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 Inconceivable.
You keep using the Horn. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Inconceivable, as always, is brought to you by our good friend Dr. Matthew J. Crawford and his great staff at Austin Orthopedics. You want to find out lots of things about orthopedic injuries, prevention, as well as treatment of those, check them out on the web at austin-orthopedics.com. All right, I'm going to start with something that was sent to us by our man Jim in Lago Vista, who had sent us, he had a question a few minutes ago, which we addressed about the Sixth Street thing, but he sent this story to us, and it's a look. The headline reads: "Man with world's largest family, including 39 wives, dies in India."
39.
Head of the world's largest family has passed away at the age of 76 in India. Ziana Chana leaves behind 38 wives, 89 children, 36 grandchildren. As the head of a local Christian sect called Chana Paul, that's P-A-W-L.
Like Sean Paul, the rapper?
I guess. This one, however, allows polygamy, and he boasted the world's largest family. The chief minister of Mizoram, where the family's home is located, confirmed the death. There's a photo of this guy here with it looks like a high school graduating class there. He said he reportedly suffered from diabetes and hypertension.
Well, if you had
apparently 30, not low T was a problem.
If you had 38 wives, wouldn't you have hypertension, Craig?
Apparently did not have low T. Doctors had said that his condition deteriorated rapidly as he admitted to a hospital Sunday evening. He was declared dead on arrival. So, yeah. So we've had a couple of interesting stories from India in the last couple of last week. That one and the bride dying of the heart attack.
Yeah.
And the sister taking over.
What his life expectancy would have been had he not had 38 wives.
It's a good question. Yeah. I don't know. Something
like could that cat have lived to be in like 110 or something?
Could be. Yeah. Remember the deal with the ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal?
How can I forget?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you who else can't forget it. IKEA and Lenovo. Because they still got stuff they haven't gotten back yet.
Yeah, it seems so. Whenever we hear, Craig, the various industries are dealing with parts or product shortages.
Yeah.
It's my understanding that the Suez Canal incident is directly to blame.
Yeah.
So when in doubt, blame the Suez Canal boat.
Well, certainly IKEA.
Snoop, if you get diarrhea tomorrow, blame it on the Suez Canal.
All right.
I've been told that that's another way to describe that condition is the Suez Canal. The Ever Given was the name of the ship, and it's no longer blocking the Suez Canal, but there are companies that are going through what's being described as a protracted legal battle in hopes of recovering goods worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, I didn't see this coming at all.
That's been stuck on this ship. The ship is not stuck there anymore, but it's been impounded, remember. So it's been there for months. So IKEA and Lenovo among the
companies. How do you impound a cargo ship?
You want to park it right over here? We're issuing tickets here.
You're back there with the mopeds. Just
squeeze right in there. IKEA and Lenovo are among the companies that have products stuck on that.
Park that mother.
On this Japanese-owned vessel that blocked the Suez Canal for 6 days back in March. That was in March. There's a smaller firm, such as UK bicycle maker Pearson 1860, and Snoop, are you listening? Snuggy UK, which makes the wearable blankets.
Uh-huh.
They also have vital orders stuck in limbo because of that ship.
Man, so, Snoop, have you ever owned a Snuggy?
Knockoff Snuggies.
Okay.
Wow, you got a knockoff Snuggie? You can probably go to Walgreens sells like as seen on TV stuff.
Oh, really?
You can probably get you one for, I don't know. What do you think that would set you back, Craig? $20? $25?
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah, probably so. The director of Pearson 1860, the British bicycle company, said, "We don't hold out much hope of seeing our stock this year. And although it is insured in transit, we have guessed there will be little chance of seeing a settlement for months, if not years." So, yeah, it's stuck there. So your gear may still be stuck there, including your Snuggie. there, Snoop. Actually, you go with knockoff Snuggie.
Yeah, so Snoop likes the knockoff
Snoogie.
Yeah, Snoogie. remember when I told you about the ride on the Jeff Bezos spaceship? It was going to be auction off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Winning bid fetched $28 million. $28 million.
Must be nice to have that kind of dispensable income.
Yeah. Okay, to food, and we're going to get to the other story we're talking about in a moment. An Olympic runner, Shelby Houlihan, says she's been banned from the sport for 4 years following a positive test for the anabolic steroid nandrolone. But she says it came from eating, wait for it, a pork burrito.
Say what?
A pork burrito. She said in an Instagram post yesterday that, now what I'm about to read is something that will make you wonder why you would eat this anyway, especially if you're a training athlete. But even if you weren't a training athlete, tell me if you think you would eat this, Jeff. She ate a burrito before the test that contained pig organ meat, also known as OFAL, O-F-F-A-L.
Chitlins?
Pig organ meat. Chitlins is
the intestines.
Yeah, anyway. She said it can lead to a positive test for nandrolone.
What? Oh, for nandrolone is the name of this one?
Yeah, okay. Nandrolone, N-A-N-D-R-O-L-O-N-E, which is a synthetic anabolic steroid.
Mm-hmm.
It's a analog of testosterone. So, yeah, pig organ meat. Might stay off of that.
So, that's interesting because...
It's good.
Well, you remember a few years ago when Dwayne Brown, then of the Texans, got a 10-game suspension?
He got
it overturned. But he tested positive for a banned substance called clenbuterol.
Yes.
That he claimed was from taking a bye week trip to Baja. And he ate 10 burgers and 2 steaks, and apparently there legitimately was like some kind of chemical in the beef processed in Mexico that had this in it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe the pork burrito story is legit.
Yeah, it could be. Okay, speaking of pork, it brings us to the story you were texting me about last night.
Let's carry this over, because this is going to require... I want plenty of time for this story.
Yeah.
It is in the inconceivable file. This is damn near tragic, because this was best damn sausage gravy I've ever had at this place.
And that's what it comes down to. We can get to that. That's not a problem. So, all right. So there's your inconsistency.